Okay, let's get started.
All right.
Hi, this is Jane Tabachnik of Jane Tabachnik Marketing, and I'm here with Nina Kaufman, who is also known as Ask the Business Lawyer, and she can be found at askthebusinesslawyer.com. Hi, Nina.
Hi, Jane. Thanks for having me on your show.
Great. This is really exciting. So, as I mentioned, Nina, a lot of people are getting involved in content marketing and content curation, and there are a lot of questions that come up about copyright and appropriate licensing and usage issues.
Mm.
So I'd love to talk to you about that. Let me first define content curation. I think that would help frame the conversation.
Sure.
So content curation is the gathering and repurposing or republishing other people's content. There are tools that help do that, but it's a process that people are using to create content, so it's not content that they've authored, though they may add their own comment or image to the content that they're
mm-hmm.
curating. So,
okay, where would you like to dive in?
Sure. So what we're kind of curious in general is what is the legality of posting either a summary of a piece of content that someone else has written or posting a link to it on your website?
Okay. Let me just say sort of as an overall rule, because I think one of the interesting things that has come up with regard to what you're describing as content curation on the Internet is that people automatically think because it's on the Internet and I can cut and paste without having to pay anything, I have the free use of whatever's on the Internet. And that's not true. our default has to be reset just a little bit. So I don't know if you remember playing in the playground when you were a kid and you would bring your Tonka truck and somebody else would bring their police car and somebody else would bring a sand and a pail and a shovel. Well, just because you're all playing in the same sandbox, it doesn't mean that you've got the right to walk over to the other little toddler and take her pail and shovel, or somebody else can't take your Tonka truck. So you have to assume that if it's on the Internet and you didn't put it there, it's not yours to use. Which means
okay.
if you're going to use it, the best practice is to get permission if you're going to be doing this ethically. Of course, there are plenty of people who don't. So the issue is first to get permission if you can. And that's always the best first place to start. But a lot of people say, well, I don't have time and there are so many things and how am I going to monitor all of this? Well, there are some exceptions within the law for what's considered a fair use. Now, that too gets kind of murky. There's no easy way to say, yes, this is fair and no, that's not. But there are some guidelines. So, Jane, if you were to, let's say, write a blog post and I, in quotes, curate that post and stick it on my blog, whole cloth, the entire post, all 800 words of it, and I don't give you attribution, well, that's really not a fair use. That's stealing. So,
yes.
So if you're using, let's say, if you say you're writing about content curation, and you spark in me a totally different approach to it. So I say, well, Jane Tabachnik says, and I pick up a sentence, let's say, out of your 800-word article, and then I use that as a launching point for my own commentary, then the law very often looks at that use as fair. I don't have to worry so much about actually asking for your permission, because part of what we're trying to do here is freely share ideas.
Right, and one loves to get published and quoted, but then the question becomes, so you take one line, that seems like fair usage, but an entire paragraph, even with attribution, or two paragraphs, I think that's where people are starting.
Exactly, and that's unfortunately where the law gets a little murky, because the courts, as they've set down the law, have looked at about four different factors. And they're looking at, how much of the work are you taking? If it's two paragraphs, but you're dealing with a two-volume work, that may not be a lot. If it's two paragraphs and it's just a blog post that's two paragraphs, that's the entirety of the work. So, again, they're looking at how much are you using? Are you using it in connection with the potential for income? So you're putting it, let's say, in your ebook, and you're selling that. And especially if it's an area that's competitive with the content that you've taken, that's generally considered not as fair. But if you're using it to transform, if you're using it, as I say, for commentary, if it's for news, if you're using it to facilitate a discussion about a topic, then those are more on the spectrum of being considered fair.
Okay. So in terms of giving attribution, is it enough to provide the person's name, or is there a format where you need to provide a link back to their full content or where the content originated? I mean, sometimes you don't even know where the content originated. You find it on a site, like, say, an infographic. You know, you find a great infographic, and it may have the creator's name on it, but there's not a link back to their site. So, you know, you always want to do the right thing. Sometimes it's not clear who the originator is.
Sure, sure. And that's where you do the best you can, particularly for a lot of small business owners for whom this is an issue. They don't have armies of people to track down where they're getting all the information from. So if there's an infographic and there's a person's name, it's not so difficult to then do a Google search and see if that person has a website or see if there's some mention of them somewhere. So you're right. You want to take some steps to give attribution. Best practice, if you have that information, is to give the name and a link back.
Okay.
But certainly, if you did not create the content yourself, you know, and lawyers do this with citing their precedent, citing their case law and their statutes and all of that, wherever it is you were able to find it, then the link back to that site or that page if you are, in fact, getting that content online.
So it sounds like the first thing to actually do is figure out whose content it is as best you can and see if somewhere, either on the same page where you found the content or by doing a quick search, you can see if there's some kind of licensing or reprint information or usage information next to the original content.
Exactly. More and more on sites, if you look in the tiny microtype on the bottom, there may be something that says terms and conditions, policies, privacy policies, something like that. And very often contained within that, the website owners will say, yes, you can use my content as long as you give the following attribution. Or, no, you may not use the content, or sure, go ahead, take it, I'm happy to have you use it. So that's something to look for as well as you're doing your due diligence to make sure you're giving the right attribution.
Right, and I've seen that, and that's great when it's in our sort of, you know, common language, when it's
yes.
in legalese. You know, if you're looking at using images and you're looking at the licensing on whether it's on a an image bank or some other type of site, it can be really hard to decipher for those of us who are not attorneys. And I love when they have the legal appropriate language and then they kind of say, here's a short – plain language for
right.
those
pay
of
us,
you.
Right. Pay us a licensing fee. You can use it however you want. That
exactly.
makes it really easy.
And, you know, what I found is when I didn't understand and I wanted to do the right thing, I've contacted the artist or the vendor and just said, look, this is what I'm looking to do. Is this within the terms of the basic license or do I need a different license? And I found them to be very responsive.
Oh, sure, because especially if it's an image bank, they want you to keep paying them little fees to use those images. And they certainly don't want to get shut down by the people who have contributed the images for improper usage. So it works to everybody's benefit when you're taking these extra steps, as sometimes as tedious as they may be, but it's really easy just to have a, you know, create your own little checklist. And then just make sure you've crossed all your T's and dotted your I's.
That's such a great idea, the checklist. So what about the, you know, sites like if you use Google Advanced Image Search, for instance, you can actually check that you want images that are that have commercial licensing, if that's what you're looking for.
Right, right, or
know,
Creative Commons.
Right, but how do you know that that's really, you know, things posted online, you know, you don't know who posted them. Like I found images of mine online where I didn't authorize them to be posted, and so, you know, how safe is it to use Google Image Search and trust the licensing? And this is not a reflection on Google, of course. This is, you know, they're aggregating what other people post, or even on Flickr.
Right. Well, in terms of safety, I guess there's there are a couple of different levels. It's how much protection do you know? Am I allowed to say how many condoms do you use at once? How much protection do you really want to have? And also, what's the likelihood that somebody would sue you for this? I mean, you're trying to do the right thing, but also for small business owners, they don't have the time, the energy, the staffing, the funding to check absolutely everything. So yes, you do need to be able to rely on certain image banks. If you're somebody who likes to sleep at night, then clearly going to a site like iStockPhoto or Creative Commons, where you where it's part of their business model to ensure that they're only using images that they have the permission to share, then you just restrict your image use to that, and then you don't worry as much about Google Images.
Okay. And what about using sites like, you know, Paperly or Scoop.it that are basically aggregators or compilers of content that they've sourced from around the web?
Yeah, that's sort of an interesting area in terms of fair use, because what they're trying to do, presumably, is pull up what's newsworthy. And what they're doing is they're aggregating it, but they give you a little teaser about the article, and then when you want to click on it, it goes back to that person's site. So it's more like a list post of, hey, these are all the nifty things that we saw today. So they're not really necessarily taking large amounts of copyrighted material, but very clearly, if you want more information, you're going back to the author's site. And that's how that falls within the fairness of it. Because at no
sense.
Point are they trying to pass this content off as their own.
No, of course not. I was just wondering how that works, and, you know, if there's something someone should be aware of when using those sites. I mean, one has to assume that, you know, paper.li and Scoop.it are reputable companies, and they're not doing something that they shouldn't be doing, or they'd be out of business in a heartbeat. But it's, you know, it's part of this whole new content marketing curation sort of space, and I just wanted to ask.
Yeah, and
about
I think that's
that.
And it was something you wanted to maybe discuss a little later, but we can touch on it briefly now. Is the Digital Copyright Millennium Act, which did I say that right? Yes, Digital Millennium Copyright Act, sorry.
DCMA, Digital Copyright Millennium Act.
DMCA, yeah.
DMCA, sorry. We're dyslexic.
That's certainly an area where nowadays, you know, it used to be you would publish something in a book and it was just there forever and ever. Now, clearly, if you're pulling up content and somebody else decides, you know what, I really don't want to be included in your Scoop.it or your Paperly, because they haven't necessarily asked for permission, they usually what can happen now is you just say, look, I don't want this content on your site, and people will remove it. I mean, there are certain procedures you go through, but they will remove it or not include you in the future. And that's part of, again, it's a really gray area. There aren't hard and fast legal rules, but what's coming up is a series of best ethics, best practices in terms of just creating a community on the web. If you take something of mine and say, you know what, I really don't want you doing that anymore because you're putting in my stuff with, I don't know, dog sites and pet sites and stuff where I just don't want my content featured, it's up to you to respect that. And if not, then, again, there are communities that can speak to and give you feedback on what the way you are acting is not appropriate.
Sure. And I actually noticed recently when I was on paper.li's site, they have a link on the bottom of their page to request what they call a stop mention. So you can opt out of being included in their publication. So I guess they can set their searches to exclude you. And, you know, when it comes to the DMCA, the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, my understanding is what the procedure is that the site is supposed to have a designated contact and make it easy for you to contact them and say, you've got some content online that should not be there, or I don't want to be there, so please take it down. And they're required to respond promptly.
Yes, and the law, where the law is specific, is in what the notice requires. So, so yes, it's for anyone who is doing any kind of content curation on their site. Very, very important to have a copyright contact person, and that should be registered. The website copyright agent should be registered with the Copyright Office, because of course they want to see.
And that person, I'm sorry, that person doesn't need to be an attorney or any particular professional, just a contact who's the designated person who will handle the, the request promptly.
Yes.
Okay. That's really good to know.
Mm-hmm.
And what about, I just wanted to go back to something we were talking about earlier. So if you have a quote or a small paragraph from someone's content and you link back to their page, does it matter if it's within an iframe or it's just a direct hot link?
I haven't seen any cases that say it, that one way or the other is necessarily better, or one way or the other is copyright infringement versus the other. I think certainly whatever might give the original author a little more publicity. So maybe the link back to their site because Google looks at how many sites are linking into yours or linking back to yours. Maybe
sure.
That would be more helpful. But again, that's not, at this point, that's not, has not come up as a legal issue.
So the important thing is just to provide the attribution and the link.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's essentially what's the source of this thing that I'm quoting, because I didn't make it up myself. And because part of the Internet is to help people be more informed, giving them easy access to that source is part of what the link does.
Okay. So are there any other potential licensing or copyright issues when it comes to content curation, quoting images, that we haven't talked about that people should be aware of?
No, I'd say, well, certainly when you're looking at permission, you want to look at the scope of the permission. So somebody may say, yeah, sure, and use my infographic on your blog. That's perfectly fine. But that doesn't necessarily mean they're saying, use that infographic in your white paper that people can sign up for to get, and that's the inducement to being part of your newsletter list. So you want to be very, very clear about the purpose for which you can use it. And
so
I think that's where you want to look at Creative Commons as well, that they may say you can use it freely as long as it is in a context where you are not charging people for the information.
So it sounds like what you're saying is if you're posting the infographic as part of some kind of a conversational or commentary type post on your blog, that's fair use. But if you're putting together a white paper, which is often seen as a sort of intellectual marketing piece.
Right, business marketing, or especially if anybody is going to have to pay to receive it, then
right.
Not so fair.
Okay. So yeah. You have to use a little bit of thought there and what is really just commentary. I mean, all content marketing in a way is intended to drive business, and there's a commercial value to it. So it can be a little bit confusing, but I think it's important to just see a blog post is a little bit more straightforward. People aren't opting in for that, and again,
right. You're
not charging for it for the most
mm-hmm.
part, as opposed to a white paper or something, perhaps even a report that you're selling, like an ebook.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And
but
especially
then again,
if sorry, go ahead.
Sorry.
No, I was going to say, especially if first of all, if money is changing hands, or especially if you're charging for something and that business directly competes with whatever the author is doing.
Okay.
So those are things to think about as well. But yeah, generally,
sure.
if you're just looking to further a discussion, commentary, policy, news, creating conversation, those are generally considered fairer uses of other people's content.
And then back to what we were saying earlier, when
mm-hmm.
in doubt, ask. And, you know, you may be doing an ebook that or white paper that you're going to charge for, and if you go ahead and ask the creator of the content, they may be delighted to be included.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And because it's an ebook, it's so easy to put in an attribution and a link back to them as well in the context of the ebook. So, yes, absolutely. When in doubt, ask. You find more often than not, as you say, people are delighted to have their information shared. They just want the courtesy and the respect of knowing where it's being shared, because that is one of the rights they have as a copyright holder, is to determine how is this information being used.
Okay. Anything else?
I think that's pretty meaty to begin with.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah, the other piece in terms of the Digital Millennium Copyright Act is just if you should get any of those notices from somebody else saying, hey, you use my content and I really don't want you to have that there and just take it down, yes, the notice needs to be in a certain form, but you also want to think about how much time and energy do you want to invest in challenging somebody's right to withdraw their permission to use content. So even if it is a fair use, just something you want to think about is, do I want to get into a dispute with this person over it, or is it just a lot easier to pull the post, rewrite it, find a different way to express it that doesn't involve this person's content?
I think that's a great suggestion. And the other thing is, you know, I think it's important just to let the other person know. Don't just take it down, but send them a note saying, just wanted you to be aware that I've taken the content down per your request.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's also courteous. Now, no question, there are some copyright or First Amendment lawyers that might jump up and down and stand on their heads and say, how can you possibly advise people just to take stuff down? They have free speech rights, blah, blah, blah. But there's also the practical aspect of being a small business owner and running a small business, and especially if you're doing it online, which is that they don't necessarily have the war chest to take this up to the Supreme Court to determine, was this fair use, not fair use? Is it First Amendment, not First Amendment? You just want to get on with your day. And
right.
For the most part, the kinds of issues and the kind of content that will be curated is not so earth-shattering and completely game-changing that it can't be expressed in another way or dealt with in a different way. So there's, yeah, do you have the right? Sure. Yeah, yes, you may. But practically, is that how you want to spend your time, money, and resources? And that's something to weigh as well.
Great advice. So I guess let's recap. So best suggestions are try and find out the source of the content, the originator of the content, see if they have licensing or use available online.
Right, right. What they usually call it's usually in a permissions section or something like that. That's the language they may use.
Okay. And it can often be, I found, at the very bottom of a website in the tiny text links at the very bottom.
Yes.
So you might have to hunt around a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just want to have a look at what they say. And if you don't understand the licensing, and particularly if it's for commercial use, like something you're going to sell, then you want to just reach out to them and say, I just want to clarify, this is the use I'm thinking of, and is this appropriate, or how could I use the content? And just get, you know, get input from the source on what they're comfortable with and if there's a way to work out an agreement, whether for fee or otherwise, to use their content.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think what it comes down to is, because there are some principles at work, but the internet as a technology has forced us to shift how those principles can actually be applied to this. I don't know if so much of this is legal. It's more, what's the right ethical balance here if we're trying to create a happy, cooperative internet community that fosters meaningful communication.
In a perfect world, that is exactly right. I think the challenge is a lot of people feel that anything on the internet is or should be free,
mm-hmm.
and so it gets a little bit confusing, or there's just a perception that it just should be fair use. But I think we have to respect the creators of content, whether it's visual or written, and respect their
wish
about how it gets used.
Right. The authors are the ones who put their time and their intellectual capital into creating that thing that you think is so fabulous you want to use it. I mean, if you thought it was garbage, you wouldn't care. But clearly it has a value because you want to include it in something you're doing. So that deserves to be honored.
Agreed. Well, Nina, thank you so much. This has been great.
You're very welcome, Jane. I hope this is helpful.
Absolutely. So,
anything else? Please let me know.
Okay, great. So this is Jane Tabachnik of Jane Tabachnik Marketing, and I want to thank Nina Kaufman, AskTheBusinessLawyer.com.
Thank you.